Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorr, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver. What a beautiful February morning this is, and we're so excited to begin a new sermon series here at Asbury called The Heart of Prayer. If you looked at the front of your bulletin, you saw an anatomical heart. I hope that that didn't make you nauseous, and I hope you're excited to dig into prayer this month. I just want to lift up a few announcements. Our ushers will be passing around attendance pads here in a few minutes. I ask you to register your attendance with us so that we know who's here and we can best care for this congregation. If you are a guest, that's a great way for us to be able to connect with you as well, to be able to follow up and let you know what things are going on here at Asbury. So to share our first announcement, go for it, Charles.
Hello, I'm Charles Bauer. Marie and I, at the last day of the month, will celebrate our 6th anniversary. And part of that will be a marriage enrichment here at the church. It's going to be fairly lighthearted, nothing too deep or controversial or cause any uproar. But we hope to open your eyes to ways that you can look to improve your marriage and that relationship you have with your lifelong spouse. Thank you.
If you didn't catch it, the Bowers' wedding anniversary is Leap Day, so that's why it's their 6th wedding anniversary. So I bet you can do some math there. So what a special thing that they're offering. One of the pieces available is nursery care for children 5 and under, and we'll be doing a wedding reception and a vow renewal with our district superintendent coming to do those. So a lot of special pieces if you're able to join us for that day. As we dig into prayer this month, I wanted to draw your attention to these workbooks that are at either entrance. And it's got this big heart of prayer on it. And throughout the workbook, you'll find different ideas for prayer, challenges for prayer, ways to try new prayer and write things out yourself, and things to try, including on the back a finger prayer labyrinth. If you've never used a prayer labyrinth before, we have a full-size one set up downstairs in the confirmation room, so in lower level 111. That's a great thing to try out. If you're like, I don't know if that's right for me, hey, it's here. Try it out. If it's something you've wanted to try before, it's available throughout this month. It will be here this Sunday, next Sunday, and then the last Sunday of the month. And there's some ideas about how to use it on the door. So if you've never used it before, this is a good way to try a prayer labyrinth to center your prayers. All right, the final thing I wanted to lift up is that it is a new month, so we have a new congregational challenge through our Stewards of Creation group, and they've challenged us to offer a ride to someone, both to reduce our emissions a little bit and also to extend love and hospitality and neighborliness. So if you've got a friend or a person that lives nearby that you can give a ride to the grocery store, to work, to church, those are great ways to step up to the challenge. And you can always fill out those challenge cards that are in the pews so that that group knows how we stepped up to our stewardship challenges. All right. I hope you're as excited as I am to dig into prayer this morning and to open ourselves up to God's presence with us in this space. I invite you to take a moment, take a few deep breaths. The choir is going to sing an introit, and when they're done with that, I'll invite you to stand, and we'll join together in our call to worship and invite God to be with us in this space. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless
The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removes our transgressions from us.
Together in our unison prayer. Lord God, we have gathered as your people to praise your name. You are the Lord of lords, the King of kings. In you is all of creation and all of salvation. We worship you, knowing that you are deserving of all our praise. Thank you for blessing us this day. We can feel your spirit in this place. Give us eyes to see beyond ourselves to the glories that you are doing in our midst. Amen. To turn to the people around you and share signs of peace and love with your neighbor. At this time, we share our lives with one another. We lift up our joys and our concerns, the places where we've been celebrating, and the places where we're in need of prayer. So if you have a joy or concern, you can stand up or raise your hand, and one of our ushers will bring you a microphone.
Well, on Thursday next, Kay and I will be celebrating our 60th wedding anniversary.
Any others? I think we all want to be prayer for the caucuses happening this Monday night. And other than that, I know that we all have other things on our minds that we brought with us, prayers that we've been sharing with the Lord this week. And so we're going to sing a verse of the song, and then I invite you into a time of silent prayer where you lift up whatever's on your heart before God. And then I'll share a prayer, and later on in worship, we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer when we come to the Lord's table. Wonderful God, you love us so much, and you wish to be in deeper relationship with us. You ask us to speak to you, to reach out to you. We want to live a life of prayer, of constant communication with you, and yet we often fall short. We don't always know the words to say. We don't always know who to pray for or what to pray for. Or at times, what we want or what we need is so deep within us that we struggle to find the words to express our pain or our longing. Forgive us for thinking that we must craft perfect prayers, that everything we say has to be exactly wonderful and exactly right. Help us to come before you with an open heart, with purity of heart, with eagerness and longing. Help us this month to deepen our relationship with you by spending more time in prayer and more time in love and conversation. Lord God, we lift up to you those who we know and even those that we don't know that are struggling. The pain in this world, the disease and the heartbreak, the tensions and the transitions. We lift all these broken things to you and pray that you will heal them. We lift our broken lives to you and ask that you may heal us. Wonderful God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for the truth that you are beside us no matter what. Give us guidance to walk closer with thee and to trust you more and more every day. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Actually, both of our scripture readings are from Matthew's Gospel this morning. And this is a section titled Concerning Prayer. And in it, we'll find what we call commonly the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. But if you read it in the Bible, it sounds a little different than how we say it in worship. So as we read this section, I pray you open up your ears a little bit to hear some of the nuances as Scripture shares it. So Jesus is teaching to the gathering crowds, and he says, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward to talk with Pastor Tom.
Good to see you guys this morning. Today we're talking about prayer, just like Pastor Heather said. And all month we're going to be talking about the heart of prayer. And she just read in the Bible a place where Jesus taught us to pray, and we call it the Lord's Prayer. So this month we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. And today I want to start with just the very beginning of it, okay, and to think about that. And to remind you, first of all, do you know what? I have a father. I have a daddy that I love. You know what? My dad loves me very much. Just like my dad, my mom, my grandparents, they love me very much. My dad, his name is Garland, but he loves me very much. But you know what? There were times when my dad would tell me things that I didn't want to do. You ever heard of something like that? Maybe clean my room or do my homework or share with my brother or sister. There were some times my dad told me things that I did not want to do. But you know what? I knew he always loved me, and I would try to do them. Sometimes I didn't do it always the way that I should have, but I remember that he always loved me no matter what, even if he told me some things that I didn't want to do. Now, here's what we're going to think about today. Jesus also teaches to pray to God and call God our Father. Right. Now, it's kind of a way to, God or Jesus was using our fathers as a way to teach us about God. Now, God loves us all the time, doesn't he? And actually loves us more than our fathers and mothers, wants the best for us no matter what. Do you believe that's true? Of course it is, right? But you know what? Sometimes God wants us to do things that maybe we don't want to do that are kind of hard to do. In fact, we're going to read in the Bible today where Jesus would even say he had to do some things. And he thought, this is so hard, God, I don't want to do it. And yet, it's not what I want to do. I'll do what my Father wants me to do. And you know why? Because he knew that his Father loved him. And even if it was going to be hard, his Father would help him and see him through. Okay? So as we're thinking about prayer, the first thing to remember is that God loves us. And also, there'll be some times when we need to do some things that are hard to do. We may not want to do them. But if we think, like, to love our neighbor as ourselves or care for other people, even though that's hard, if we remember that God wants us to do that and we do it, we'll know that God will work through it and it'll be okay. Sometimes if it's hard, we just keep remembering we want to do what God, our Father in heaven, wants us to do. Okay? Does that sound all right? Okay, let's have a prayer together. I'll say it, then you pray right after me, okay? Dear God, thank you that you love us even more than our fathers. Help us to do the things that sometimes are hard to do. And help us remember that you'll always be there for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Okay, so today, what I want to give you is an assignment, something to do. This is a mission, okay? So you go back to your pews where you are. I want you to give your father a hug and say, thank you for being my father. I'll try to do what you want me to do. How's that sound? And you can do it to your mom or your grandma or your people who love you that way too. But can you do that on your mission today? Okay. Okay, off you go. And we'll hear a choir. We're done. This month we're starting a new sermon series on the heart of prayer. So all of February we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer, especially to guide us as a way to listen to how Jesus would teach us to pray. And so I want to, Pastor Heather has already shared where we read that in the Gospel of Matthew about how Jesus taught us to pray, gave us the form and the words of the Lord's Prayer. And in this passage now, I want to skip ahead to after Jesus, his ministry. He is now been with his disciples in that upper room for that last final meal, of which we'll remember today. And then he's gone out into the garden to pray. And here's where we see another powerful example of how Jesus prayed and what he prayed. And so, again, in the Gospel of Matthew at chapter 26, and I'm going to start at verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, Jesus went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, Jesus went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of God for the people of God. Today we're beginning a series about prayer. And prayer is a conversation. And a conversation is a relationship. And relationships are everything. I want to share with you a time I had a conversation with God. I mean, a few times I felt or sensed a response from God. It was in my first appointment, the church that we were serving in Toledo, Iowa, and we'd been there our fifth year. It was starting to feel at home. I was starting to feel like I knew what I was doing, and we're getting connected in the community. And in the fall, my district superintendent told me, "Well, you know, Tom, we're thinking about maybe this would be a year that you would move, maybe go to a larger church, be an associate pastor somewhere." And that was not what I wanted to hear. It was kind of troubling. And I remember one night then outside the parsonage, this was the first house that we would lived in. We had kids that were raising there. We knew the neighbors. And I remember being in the backyard looking up at the stars and just thinking and praying, but saying, "God, we like it here. We want to go." And I remember thinking, "This is my home." And kind of my mind was referring to the ground, the house the kids were sleeping in, the neighbors, the people. And I remember thinking, "God, this is my home." And in my mind, I heard a response that was, "No, Tom, this is your home." And my perspective changed from the ground and the things around me to the stars and the sky and the relationship with God. Okay, that prayer has stayed with me all these years. In the different times I've been in different places around the world, to still be able to look up at the stars and the sky and remember, I'm still at home and have that relationship with God. You see, as we think about the heart of prayer, prayer is a conversation. A conversation is a relationship, and relationships are everything. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we open our hearts now to you, to listen to what you might have for us. We pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If we're going to think about prayer, the best place to look to is Jesus and the example that he gave to us in the specific teaching where he said, this is how you should pray. You know, the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew and it's found in Luke. And when Luke tells the story, it's actually Jesus was out praying and the disciples saw Jesus praying and they came to him and said, teach us how to pray. And then Luke gives his version of the Lord's Prayer. Here in Matthew, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is one of the greatest sermons of all time when Jesus is talking about a relationship with God and how blessed are the poor in spirit and all those kind of things. But then he goes on to talk about prayer. And he kind of begins by saying what not to do. What they were familiar with, the Pharisees, the religious folks that would stand up and have these great prayers, big, long, lengthy things, and think, you know, kind of put on a show. And Jesus says, first of all, don't do it like that. It's not meant to be a show. It's not meant to be, you're not impressing God by if you have lengthy words or all these, you know, phrases and so on, and it's all about you. It's not about you. He said, instead, when you pray, it's like this, go off by yourself. Remove the distractions, at home alone in your closet, under the stars, you know, somewhere, but it's between you and God to develop that relationship and have a conversation and speak and tell God what's on your heart, but also listen for what God might have for you. And so he would go on to say then, pray in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now today we're just going to take that first phrase and spend some time with that. And then through the rest of this month, we'll be taking a phrase of the Lord's Prayer through all of February as we think about the heart of prayer. Today, the first part, and I just want to do a word at a time. First of all, our. This is a plural thing. It's not me, even though it's an individual prayer with God. The whole reference that we begin with is it's our, meaning we're praying with others. It's a plural word. Our Father. God is God. Jesus knew the teachings about God as the righteous judge, the you know, almighty, powerful, awesome God. But Jesus was also emphasizing God loves you like an earthly parent. That means it's safe. God wants the best for you. And when you put them together, our Father, it means we're safe. We can come to God. God cares for us. And it's our Father. That means the people we're with, they're brothers and sisters. It's not just me. It's not my Father. It's our Father. Now, that's the start. That's the heart of prayer. That's the beginning. A relationship with God that we're loved, we're forgiven, just like an earthly father loves their child. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now we're talking about God in terms of, okay, there's our earthly Father, but this is our Father, God, who created the heavens and the earth, the awesome, most wonderful. Now we're going off the scale to try to conceive of who really God is. And while we can know, we don't have to be afraid, we also have to be aware this is hallowed be thy name, honored be thy name, revered. I mean, God is great, God is wonderful, God is God. And we are not. Jesus goes on, you know, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here's perhaps, again, part of where as we begin to listen for what God may have for us, not my will, but thine be done. Now, here's one of the challenges that comes to us. You know, any choice, any decision that we make, or to realize that it's God who's in control. God is God. This is what I want you to remember. God is God, and you are not. Everybody got that? Now, part of that what means, number one, that's a great relief. That means God is in control of this universe. God is managing things. That means you don't have to. God loves you like a father. That means you can sleep at night and trust and know that he's got things covered, that you have no idea how difficult, how hard that would be. I remember the first time I was in my first church as an intern pastor, a student pastor. I didn't really know all that much about it. But people, the phone rang the first time, and, hello, is this Reverend Carver? Reverend, no, I'm sorry, you must have the wrong, yes, it is, you know. I remember people started to come to me with, like, problems or marriage problems. At first, I kind of was like, yeah, well, they must think I'm pretty smart, you know. But then I realized, oh, my gosh, it was terrifying. I can't solve their problems. I don't know what to do. It really started to weigh on me. And then I was taught and learned to remember, they're not really coming to you for who you are. They're coming because you're to be a representative for God's presence in this world. That's not just pastors, that's anybody. Our mission, our ministry, isn't to point people to ourselves, but to point them on to Jesus. And it was a great relief to know God is God, and I am not. My job is not to be God, not to be the answer man, not to solve everybody's problems, but to point people to the one who can. That's their relationship with the living God. So that's the first thing. What a great relief to know that God is God, and I am not. Whew. That means I can go to bed at night knowing that God's got the world covered. It means that God has got me covered as well. And all the people I care about and all the people I love, ultimately God is caring for them in ways that I could never imagine. Now, the second point then is sometimes things will not go according to our plan. God is God. I am not. That means I'm not in control. Things that I might want may not work out to be the way that it's going to work out. And if I can trust in God, then I can learn to live with that. Not my will, but thine be done. If I actually seek that, then I'm trying to be more what God would want me to be. I think that's what Jesus taught, but more importantly, that's what he lived. When we read about Jesus in prayer, and we've got this insight to his prayer in Gethsemane, we see him practicing it. And we see him being faced with the hardest thing you could ever imagine. Jesus knew the people were against him, that they were coming for him. We don't know how much he knew and, you know, what was going to happen for sure. But he had told people he knew he was going to give up his life. This was going to cost him everything. And he honestly prays to God, Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do it. And yet, not my will, but thine be done. I mean, do you see how really deep of a prayer this was? The Bible tells us he was greatly distressed. And his disciples, he comes back to them, they're falling asleep. He says, come on, wake up, stick with me now. He goes back the same words. He tells you how desperate he was. God, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. And yet, not my will, but thine be done. Comes back to the disciples again, third time or second time they're sleeping. He goes back again and says the same words, which we know must have been, God, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. This is not what I want. And yet, not my will, but thine be done. If we were to follow Jesus' prayer, our life would continually also be, not my will, but thine be done, and seek God's will in our lives, knowing it will be challenging, difficult at times. There's the, remember the initials that were, what WWJD? Remember what they stood for? What would Jesus do? Right? I mean, I think that's a great intent to think about what would Jesus do, but I think we need to go a step farther. I think it doesn't quite, because what would Jesus do? Jesus would walk on the water. Jesus would heal somebody. Jesus would, you know, in a sense, snap his fingers and the leprosy would be gone or people could see again. I can't do that. I'm not Jesus. So I think what I'd suggest is we actually move things around and add WMT. Okay, anybody want to get WMT? What would Jesus want me to do? See the difference? I'm not Jesus. So that if I try to do something, I can't say, well, this is Jesus' will, this is God's will, what I just did. Well, I'm not Jesus. I'm trying to do the best I can, but I'm going to get it wrong at times. I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. I want to do the best I can and follow his example, but I know it would be inaccurate for me to say what I'm doing is completely God's will. So let me give you an illustration. Let's say God would say to me, I want you to help the person in this section over here. That's God's will for me. God wants me to help, but I may, you know, if I make individual choices that are wrong choices, poor choices that actually lead me in the wrong direction. Unless I even make choices that are so bad it puts me over here, let's say these people are in jail, all right? These are the jailbirds, and now I've made choices that I'm in jail now. You can't say, well, you know, God wanted me to be here. God wanted me to help those folks. But now that I'm here and I'm imperfect, I could also say, well, God, what's your will? What do you want me to do here? God, I think potential would say there's people right here in jail that need God's love. Because I'm here now, I can do things now and care for people. If I'm open to what God's will for me would be, God, what do you want me to do? I can care for the people that are here because God loves these folks as much as anyone else. Now, you can't say, God wanted me to be here. God wanted me to be over there. I made mistakes. I wasn't perfect. But I can continue to ask God, what would you want me to do now that I'm where I'm at? What about all the people over there? If God's will was for me to be with them, what does God not care about them? Here's how God works. I need one person to stand up in that section. One person. Quick, who's going to do it? All right. Thank you, Debbie. Here's how God works. You know, God's will was for me to help them. I didn't do it. God still cares about them. God says to Debbie, I want you to care for the people in this area over here. God's will still be done, but it may not be through me, perfectly as God intended. Thank you, Debbie. God wants you to care for the people around you right in here, right? You see how that works? God is always wanting us to follow him to do something, but to be honest, there are times when we don't want to do it. I want to share you an example. So here's my prayer journal from that I've kept over the years, and I've kept a journal for 40 years, writing notes and things. And thing about writing a journal, you write it down, you can come back to it later on and say, oh, that's what God was doing. That's what it was about. So Pastor Heather has prepared, you know, those journals. You can start if you've never done that, but there's prayer journals. You can just write down what God might be saying to you now. Later on, it might come back, and you're like, oh, here's the growth. Here's what's happened since then. It's part of your conversation, your relationship with God. Okay? Here's an entry that I wrote. This is back in 2001, and the setting was I was at a conference, and I just felt like God was wanting me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. I just had this essence, this feeling of like, you know, Tom just, and I remember thinking honestly, darn it, God, leave me alone. And as soon as I thought that, I was like, because the thought that scared me was, what if I could imagine God saying, okay, if that's what you want, I will leave you alone. That scared me more than anything. Here's what I wrote that day. Dear God, I'm sorry I swore at you today. I know that you would never leave me. Please don't let me ever leave you or turn my back on you. I confess my fear of looking foolish to others. I ask for your help to get my life in order with you so I can be the leader you want me to become. You see, that was a prayer, a relationship, a conversation with God. And part of what I think where we're at is, and what I want you to be aware of, your task is to ask God's, what is your will for me to do? But also to remain humble enough to say, I did this, that must be God's will. You know, sometimes we look at what's happening around the world, and we've got the caucuses tomorrow. If you're a member of either party, your responsibility is to go and participate in this process. The world's watching us. It's important that we make our presence known and fulfill that obligation. But sometimes people will look at the outcome of an election and think, well, that must have been God's will. Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe this is not what God really wanted, but we can still try to get closer. Think about our nation. I would suggest to you today that we can't say our nation is exactly where God wants us to be. We're not. Even the Pledge of Allegiance that we say, can we honestly say we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all? We're not there yet. And whenever we think, well, we've arrived, we've done it, we're the greatest everywhere, we're fooling ourselves. See, greatness isn't determined by what we think of ourselves. Greatness is more accurately measured by what others think of us. I might tell you how great I am, but that doesn't mean I'm great in other people's eyes. It doesn't mean I'm great in God's eyes. So our desire is to do what God wants us to do. But to recognize as we try to do that, we'll always fall short. We can never be perfect. It'll always be a challenge. And if we've never felt that understanding of a God, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. It's too much. We're maybe not pushing ourselves enough. Because really to care for someone else is to sacrifice, to give of yourself. Not my will, but thine be done. It's not me first. It's how can I be a part of God's will to serve others and put their interests ahead of mine. I told you I had that prayer outside, and I felt that as a pastor, we were being called to move. I didn't want to go. And I told Linda, you know, I think DS called. I think we're maybe moving this year. Oh, that didn't sound. And I talked to the DS, said, you know, we want to stay. We're not done yet. You know, one more year. DS said, okay, I think we're done. I told Lynn, I think we're going to stay one more year. Went to a meeting later on, and another pastor called up and came up and said, I think, how would you like to be an associate pastor for me? DS said, maybe that might work out. Let's talk. What? I called my DS. I think we're moving. I called Linda. I think we're moving. And she said, I found the DS. I thought we figured out I was going to stay one more year and still be here. Called Linda. No, I think we're going to, you know. He said, yeah, it was just a mistake. Don't worry. I'd call her. So we're getting in March, April, May. No call. We're going to stay. Stay where we're. This is our home. May 14th, I got a call. The district superintendent. Are you sitting down? I go, yeah. He says, well, there's an opening, and we feel the Spirit is leading us to send you to this church. I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. Either the Spirit or else you're really desperate, you know. It was not what we wanted. We weren't happy about it. So we had a month. We had from May 15th to June 15th to get ready and move and everything else. We had four kids at the time. They all had the chicken pox, and I was cleaning up at the church and trying to move. It was a stressful time. And yet, looking back, that move to the church we were at in Shueyville, we were there for 22 years, one of the best things that ever happened to us. It was not what we wanted, but it worked out wonderfully. When we can trust God in our life, our relationship, not my will but thine be done. No, God will care for you. There will be those times when it's like, I don't want to do that. This is too hard. Trust in God. Do the best you can and try to do God's will and not your own. That is the heart of prayer. Because prayer is a conversation. A conversation is a relationship. And your relationships are everything, beginning with your relationship with God. Amen. Well, one of the ways that we commune with God is in the sacrament of Holy Communion. The United Methodist Church has an open communion table. That means all are welcome to share in it this day. You'll be invited to come forward, and we'll break off a piece of bread for you. You can take it, eat it, dip it in the grape juice. You can go and kneel at the aisle or the at these places up here, the rails. Pray as long as you want. Return to your pews by the outside aisles. But this is one of the ways that God invites you to be a part of this relationship with Him. So will you join with me now in this great thanksgiving? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You are Creator God. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. Yet you continued to pursue us and called us, wanting to be in a relationship with us. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He came to be with us, teaching us, healing us, and showing us the beauty of the relationship between the Father and the Son. Christ taught us to pray and showed us that we can call to you at any time under any condition. Through the Son, we can know the Father. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us join in praying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
You're invited to share in the sacrament. The ushers will assist you coming forward. I'll invite those that are serving to come forward at this time. And then as you come as well, if you have offerings for the church, you can place those in the plates as you come forward for the communion. Let us receive now this sacrament of Holy Communion. And if you do have a need for gluten-free elements, they're here at the center aisle. Just indicate that, and we'll be glad to serve you those gluten-free elements here in the center.
Thank you.
Are you ready for your assignment? Trust in God. Go out and seek to do God's will, not your own. Listen for God's voice and carry on a life of prayer, a relationship with the living God who loves you like a father. You're invited to join us in a time of fellowship afterwards. We're going to have refreshments here in the upper fellowship hall. And then come back next week to learn more about a heart of prayer and giving us this day our daily bread. So would you please stand and receive now this benediction. As you go out into the world, go with the full confidence of knowing that God loves you like a father. May you seek to do God's will and not your own, knowing that you'll never get it perfect. And yet, with God's work, with God's Spirit within you, you can truly seek to do God's will. For God will work through you. The blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always. Amen.